Hello and welcome to Bible Brothers, the podcast where we read the Bible from front to back. My name is Robert Padnick. With me as always is Dan Klein. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Robert. Thank you so much for having me back on this show.
Yes.
As opposed to a different show.
What?
I imagine that the corporation has other shows.
It's such a big building.
Right. So,
and we take up such a tiny, tiny satellite desk that it's like, what are they doing?
Doesn't know who I am.
Right. If they don't, yeah.
It's anonymous.
Yeah.
And the parking lot is huge.
Huge. Very Severance-like.
Very Severance-like. Which shot in Homedale, New Jersey, which is not far from where I grew up.
Hmm.
Odd.
Someone else was just telling me it's their mall. People are coming out of the woodwork saying that Severance was shot where they live. Yeah.
I'm from there.
That's my place.
No, it's not.
It can't be all of you.
Yeah, we'll see. Put it to the test. Get that person on here, and we'll see who's hometown it was near, because it was not my hometown, it was near it.
Right.
Whose hometown was it really near?
Who's the closest?
Yes.
And hold, I predicted Wizard's gonna bark, and hold for Wiz.
Oh, because he was gearing up. Yeah, you may have heard a little pitter patter, the click clicks, the tap shoes of the great Wizard.
I love playing the boards.
So it's great to be back on this show.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little loopy.
Me too. It's
the
just
heat
like
in Los
heat,
Angeles right now.
It's late afternoon, which is almost like it feels like we're having like a drink after work.
Yeah, kind
we're
of
not
like
drinking.
The feeling where you like have a spritz on a yes. and like you want like almost like vacate or
summer
like you're
Friday.
In a hot Cuban airport waiting, you know, or like they're just like the train
yeah,
the or
fans.
The train, you know, you're waiting for the train mm-hmm. to arrive and it's like the train is known for being coming on its own time.
Right. And that's just how you just have to deal with that here.
It just sits like a languor, a stupor.
Mm-hmm. But like the, and you decide to go get like some of the food at a stand mm-hmm. there and you don't even know what it is.
No.
And it's so delicious though, but it's spicy.
Yeah. Cause you're eating it in context
yes.
that it's meant to be eaten.
like from a styrofoam cup is like a.
Yes. I like to, right. Yes. Wine from a. So,
yeah,
that's how the locals they
yeah,
would
that's how they always
drink
do it.
It.
How
they've
always
done
it.
These wine glasses. Well, they don't know what that is.
It tastes so much, and then you try to replicate it at home, and it's not as good.
No, it has to be with the sweat.
Mm-hmm.
The music plays such a huge role in the food. Mm.
So that's what's going on here.
Yeah, except we're not there.
We're in your quote unquote
kitchen. Yeah,
keeping it a secret for years now. Well, this has been a rousing
conversation about why you where eat, my energy's at.
And where am I? Well, I'm at the train station.
You're at the train station.
Beautiful train station, by the way. The tiles.
Yeah, it's still got bullet holes from the Civil War.
Mm, yeah, they kept it there.
The original.
But it's cool now.
It's cool.
It is cool.
It's cool because it's not cool. You know, no one knows. It's just like people are being themselves.
That kind of is one of the best parts of traveling, is just gawking at people just living a life.
Yeah, you're like, I can't believe you're so far away.
Yes.
And you've been doing
and
you've
this? Been yes, there's like a lot of you.
There's tons.
Yeah, there's more here
than maybe
there is
where
there.
I was.
Unreal.
Yeah, you're like, you guys are like in a crowd. It's like congested with people.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, what offices
could
are here?
What be happening here?
I don't know. Like, are you inventing things or like, is it a factory? What is the job?
Yes. And they often don't have such a shockingly different culture that it's like going to an alien planet. They're
but that's
like,
how it feels.
Yeah. But it's like, you're just doing the same stuff.
Yeah. Right. That's even crazy.
In a different language.
Yeah. It's almost like uncanny.
It's freaky.
Too freaky.
It's like, no, I do that. Like,
you're pushing everyone on the train.
You're not obeying like video game rules. Like, you
yeah.
should be water people who do water things.
Mm, the new Pixar, Elemental.
Yes. Like they, I'm sure,
that makes
live very
to
different
me.
Lives.
Right. Well, I don't
well,
know,
Well, maybe
actually.
They're going to explain that they have the same lives.
I think they are the same. And I remember I read someone's comment that was like, it bothers me so much that there's like, in the trailer, there's like a fence and like the water people just go through the fence.
Oh.
And it's like, who's the fence for then?
Right. Like, certainly
why do you just have a regular
called?
Person fence?
Right.
In a non-regular person world, and then someone
they just
else
wouldn't have that sort of fence.
Exactly. Why? No water person would come up with like a chain link fence.
No, you'd have to have an element stopping fence.
And then someone made the point about how frustrating it is in the Cars movies that they just have regular buildings, but like
that aren't used.
They're not for cars. They're for people. But there's no people. Everything is cars. But why don't they have like car buildings?
Like parking lots.
Parking lots, hangars.
Hangars. Huh.
Something to think about.
But those movies did really well, so they must Fantastic. Be up to like so, something is doing right.
Well, I think the key is that kids don't care.
And we don't know how well it would have done.
Yeah, it could have destroyed it.
Yeah.
Kids would appreciate it so much that a child watching a movie says to themselves, oh, that makes sense that the cars invented. They have a whole different timeline.
Yeah.
A whole different history.
They would have a whole different culture.
Culture, yes.
Different
so you can't understand
system.
Any.
They would appreciate it.
Yes. So that yes, they speak with like honks and tire screeches.
Yeah. I mean, how long have these cars been? Like, I assume they have this. I would imagine they have the same. They've been alive for as long as humans have been alive. You know, it's like, when did they start?
Yeah. And was there a predecessor?
And how did they evolve?
Yeah.
Was there like a Neanderthal car?
Was, yeah. And is there a creationist theory?
Right.
Or
right.
I don't know what
world
we're
in. Did they start the way they did? Or were they like from, were they also like monkeys?
Well, like,
and then they turned into cars.
At the next Cars sequel Q&A,
yeah,
these questions need to be asked.
I'm sure they've thought about it. The guys at Pixar are so imaginative that it's like, you know, a car that they found in ice and then they get it to work again, and it's like Encino Man.
That's interesting.
You know, like it's a caveman car.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. That's
I think
I'm saying.
They do have old cars in it, but like that's a cool idea. It's like bringing a car back.
Like an original car.
And he's like shocked
he's
at like
wow, cars are different now.
Yeah. And like he wasn't, you know, they like get the engine working again.
Yeah.
Guys, Idea Squad.
Idea Squad. Cars, right. I think five.
Cars 5, Encino Car?
Encino Car.
And Encino, I feel like I learned this only recently, has nothing to do with any, you know, historical like epic, you know, or epoch. Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Pleistocene era. Like, I thought Encino was like Jurassic.
You didn't know Encino is the place?
It's just a town.
Oh.
No, I think most people not from Southern California had a, because Encino sounds like.
But I think that's, I think.
Is that the idea?
I think you're arguing for why it's a good title. You're like, because like it takes place in Encino.
Right.
And he's like, it sounds kind of like primitive
caveman.
Man
yes.
is Encino Man. I think they knew
oh,
what
yeah.
they were doing.
But it's just that it's a town.
Right.
I guess so.
But I think yeah. it's like, I believe they're trying to say that it's like Encino, you know, in Pauly Shore, the Pauly Shore verse is like a very like the equivalent of like Valley. It was like
old.
The stereotype of like the valley and valley girls and valley boys. There's a sort of like, let's go to 7-Eleven and drink Slurpees.
Uh-huh.
Like a sort of.
They do that.
Yes. Like a degenerate sort of truanty sort of like nothing happens here. We just kind of mess around.
Gotcha.
I think you want to highlight like his, that vibe.
Well,
and
we'll
so like a stupid man, like a caveman might fare very well there.
Oh my gosh. So it was like a satire?
I think in some, like, I wouldn't go so far, but like, you know, I think there's a reason they said it in Encino as opposed to like a metropolitan town.
That's cool. That makes me like,
I think
a lot of thought went both into that and Cars.
Yeah. I used to like those movies, but now they don't hold up.
No, they're crap.
They're juvenile. they're like.
But it's okay to be juvenile if there's like
I saw Biodome recently.
Crap.
I used to really like it. Did you ever see it?
I did with
one of the Baldwins.
You. Baldwin's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went through a Pauly Shore phase. I mean, as a kid, I thought it was like, oh, this guy's like the king of comedy.
Yeah. And really funny and cool.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He acts funny.
But it's like, it's not, he's not like making jokes.
No, it's like just
he's
a
just
crazy
like being
affectation.
Weird.
He's being weird and it's not. Yeah. Because it's like one thing that you could debate if Jim Carrey's not funny. I always thought he was funny as a kid, but
sure.
I think his contemporaries did not find him funny. They're like, this guy's juvenile and annoying.
See, I didn't know that, but interesting.
I didn't know that either until I talked to people who were his contemporaries.
They were at the time and they were like, he was a bozo?
I talked to a Letterman writer from that era.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, we hated when that guy would come on the show.
Interesting.
He was so annoying.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was like for kids.
Well, I could see why that's the case.
Yeah. It's just like crazy physical, big faces.
I don't know. I would still like say there maybe it's just because like it's more my maybe I'm
yeah,
just like
I mean,
nostalgic. I would say Ace Ventura or whatever, like they are better. They are fundamentally
well. That's what I was going to say.
Better.
I was saying that Jim Carrey. Fine, you can debate it.
Right.
That if he's funny or not, you right. are not allowed to like it. Though I do think he. I thought he was being funny. Pauly Shore. It sort of seems undebatable.
Yeah.
He's never.
Yeah. It's like
really
this is
funny.
Not good.
This is just not good.
Right.
Unfortunately, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it did for like several movies at the time. Everybody got the wool pulled over their eyes.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's weird when there's like these.
You just think about how competitive the movie business is right now.
Yeah.
People banging their friggin' heads, like trying to son-in-law, crack this code.
Son-in-law, Jury Duty, Encino Man.
Did you say
Biodome?
You did, yeah.
But that's four.
There's an army one.
In the army now?
Something like that.
Five starring roles.
That we remember off the top of our head fast.
That's not even, that doesn't even count like the, supporting roles he probably got to get to that point.
Oh, I don't think he ever supported.
You don't think so? You don't think he was ever did like a cameo? I mean, not a cameo. Yeah, like a small bit part. He just was, they were like, we got to get this guy.
No, I think he just did his thing. I think he probably was like a comedian.
Well, he's the child of the comedy store owner.
Oh.
Mitzi Shore.
Oh.
He's like.
Nepo baby.
He's a Nepo baby.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why the comedians didn't like him too.
There's that too.
Yeah.
But Jim Carrey, he's no Nepo baby.
Famously.
Famously not an Epo baby. The whole Czech thing or
the
something?
Czech thing. I wrote myself a Czech. Just a humble Canadian.
Yeah, humble Canadian. Everyone loves a humble Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
That'll never get old.
No. Show me that. Give me that.
Give me the humble Canadians.
Well, should we get into the Bible?
Fine.
This one has a good, like a start.
Okay.
So I remember I just did a little peeky and I was like, ooh.
A peeky blinder?
Yeah, I did a little peeky blinder.
Well, last we left off, something happened.
Definitely.
So let's see what happens this week.
I have nothing to add.
Nice. Wrapped it up nice and succinctly.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Mm-hmm. And so I think in this chapter, we'll just continue where we left off.
Great.
So open up the Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly like to scan in these days and see. It's a normal chapter. Okay. And the first section is called Saul's select band of 3,000 warriors.
Man, he's going to pick 3,000?
He selected them. You? You. Not you. Not you. Not you.
How many is that?
You.
One?
That's four. Hold on, that's four. Okay, and I need 3,000, so I need 2,996 more of you.
Can you step a look? No. Okay, you're tall.
Yes. Maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Start a maybe
let
pile.
Me see. I hope that's what this is. How many more do I need?
So here
do
we
I count? Okay, sorry.
Oh yeah.
Am I one?
Wait.
I'll probably stay here. Okay. We'll go back to the.
No, of course I'm not one. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I'm zero.
They don't.
I'm zero.
That's not how you count things.
Well, I'm one person.
I'm just
not
in
one.
This
I'm not
category.
In.
I'm like,
is that clear, everybody? Like, I'm not in this.
I'm not. Don't count me.
We have to go in soon. It's going to get dark, and as we all know,
shoot
the darkness.
Stand in
nothing
a line.
Can happen.
Make yourself spread out.
Who's everyone wearing blue shirts? You're in.
You're in. Hooray, yes.
If your last name starts with A, you're in.
Sound off. Okay, go one. You say one. You say two. You say three. Everyone go one, two, three. One, two, three. The twos. Come on.
Come on. Ones and threes. Sorry.
Sorry. Next time. All right, so here we go. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash, and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin.
Okay,
and the
so
rest
little
of the people he sent every man to his tent. So he did send some people
so he did,
back.
Yeah, he did count them off.
Yeah.
But it was a little easier.
2,000 go here, 1,000 go here, everyone go home.
He's like, I already have my 2,000, and I know those guys are pretty good.
Who's Jonathan? Have we talked about Jonathan?
I mean, we may have, but yeah, it does seem weird to hear Jonathan.
That's a name I would guess was not biblical.
You don't think so? Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Jonathan. I feel like because there's so many H's in it. Are there a lot of H's? No, there's just one.
Yeah, there's one big one.
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
It serves a purpose, though. Wait, do we have... whatever. I was going to say if we had the Bible dictionary, but I forgot where I put it.
Yeah, it's somewhere in this room, but...
I'll keep looking.
You keep reading. I'm on this.
It might be in the... down there.
In the pile?
In, like, the Judaica section. Is it in this... No, up.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, you keep reading, but I'm gonna look up Jonathan.
And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Can you do a quick check on verse 4?
Yeah.
What it means that Israel also was had in abomination.
So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost. Maybe an attack? But anyway. And now Israel has become obnoxious to the Philistines.
Maybe that's what it means.
And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. So like Saul kind of stepped in shit.
Something like that.
And he's like, "Hey, let's talk about it. Like I may have gotten us into a little trouble."
Okay.
Maybe.
With the Philistines.
I tried to attack them. I don't even know. Anyway, go on.
And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishmash eastward from Beth-Aven.
Why so many chariots but so few riders?
What?
It said 3,000 chariots and 6,000. So two per chariot.
30,000 chariots. It is 30,000.
Mine says 3,000.
Why would they?
They're like, it can't be 30,000.
Change it.
That's crazy. But you'll have two guys. I guess it makes sense. Like a guy who's like riding and the other guy has like a bow and arrow or something.
Well, 30,000 certainly doesn't make sense.
I mean, you just got some horses running wild over there. Maybe it made sense to them.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been crazier things in the Bible than like the idea that they just had connected a chariot to a horse and hoped that it like fought for their like army.
Land or something. Yeah. It's like if you have it, use it.
We made the chariots.
Yeah.
Like this is the day.
Either use them or you don't.
Right. Like they're not going to get any better.
Right.
So
if it does anything,
if
it's a distraction,
it's a win.
It's good. Yeah. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits.
Wow, they found a lot of hiding spots.
And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling.
Wow, this is amazing. The Israelites the Hebrews are such great hiders.
It's funny to hide.
Yes, like really hiding.
Like really hiding.
Thicket. A pit.
Yeah.
You won't look down there. I'm going to run to an entirely different place and hide there. Is that allowed?
Can you imagine if you're just like, your group is like, we just have to, everyone find a hiding spot.
And don't, I'm already hiding here. You can't come
here.
I mean,
can you imagine finding them?
I got like, one.
And you'd know they're hiding. You'd just be like, check stuff. And they'd be like, they're hiding.
I see one. He's like curled up.
Like, ooh.
Hoping I don't see him.
I see you.
Got you.
No, you don't.
Get out of here.
I just stay.
And then you'd have to run.
Then you run.
That's why it was probably smart for some people to go to Gilgal.
Right away.
It just
seems wrong to hide if you can run.
It's like, I'm out of here. But who knows? Maybe some of those horses with no one riding their chariots would have got you.
Yeah, right.
Mm. You're not going to outrun them.
And so this last section is called Saul, weary of waiting for Samuel, offers sacrifice.
So he's waiting because they're losing. And he's like, maybe this will help.
Waiting for Samuel.
Go back to
do
the basics.
And Saul is the king now. Samuel is just the judge.
Is
the
that
wise
what it was?
Judge, I think.
I think you're right. And I was going to say the opposite, but I'm pretty sure you're right.
I think that's right. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself thereof and offered a burnt offering.
Okay, I see what's happening, I think.
Really?
Okay, wait, which one's the king?
Saul, I think.
So Saul, I think, is, remember, there was a lot of that, like, be careful what you wish for.
Right.
You're going to get a king. Look, this is what happens when you get a king.
It's so things are going bad because of him?
Yeah, because it's like he decided to just, like, go attacking.
Oh.
And it's like, that was kind of stupid.
And he's like, what the heck are you doing, yeah. Saul?
He's like, I'm getting a burnt offering. That's something, maybe.
And maybe he'll be like, no, it's not good enough. Or
yeah. I don't think this is working out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something like that.
Maybe this was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm sure God will be very happy to say that.
Yeah. Like, it's not enough that you give me an offering. You're on your own, suckers.
I took you out of Egypt. I talked to Abraham.
Yeah. Did I mention the Egypt thing? And Samuel said to Saul, I mean, what if he didn't? What if that's a huge lie? You know, what if God didn't take them out of Egypt? It was a quite like a lot of this whole book is predicated on that he did that. And now I'm like, it seems super convenient that he has done that.
Methinks the lady doth protest too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned this Egypt stuff quite a lot.
Yeah, you sure?
And I know that like no one is like many generations passed since then and we don't really know.
That's true. And he just, I guess that's like to the religious person, that's the whole thing is like, you have to believe
right.
and remember. Because like, once you don't do it, once you don't believe, then he's not going to bring you presents on Christmas.
Right. But you're like, but if I don't believe, then anyway.
Yeah.
I don't need to get into it. You guys know. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. He's saying God picked someone else?
It did seem to mention, now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people. So it does seem like they're about to like introduce a new guy.
Or maybe he's going to say it's me again.
Ooh, I think I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, I think it was good the way it was.
Maybe.
And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son. Okay.
That helps.
That's good. And the people, they should do more of that. This is extremely rare that they've been
I've never seen that.
Yes, we know he's your son, but there's so many characters. It's nice to just remind you again. Why not?
I had found Jonathan in the Bible dictionary.
Anything good?
I mean, there's a lot, but I guess he was mentioned in Judges, too.
Oh, okay.
He's a Levite.
Sure.
The oldest son of... Never mind.
What?
Because it says... Wait. Oh, no, we already knew that.
He's Saul.
I already forgot.
You Since just forgot that Saul is his dad?
No, but Saul is king?
Yeah.
Okay. I already forgot which one is which. Since we've talked about
you
it,
you thought there was gonna
twice.
Be like a twist or something.
I did.
It felt like you were like embarrassed that you almost spilled the beans.
Yes. And then I remembered what book we're reading. Man, I really felt it.
Yeah, you were so scared.
I was so scared. Like, oh no, man. I'm gonna ruin the podcast.
There's gonna be a good part coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that was scary, really, in my brain. For like, oh no, there's a good part, and I've ruined.
Yeah, what little there is.
Right.
No. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Mishmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual, and another company turned the way to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears.
Wait, they killed
they must have killed all the...
Any smith, any blacksmith.
Yeah, how did they
know
do that?
Do you know how to do this?
Like,
hey.
Were they there? Like,
or
by the
they
time
have,
the
like,
Philistines are like...
Marauding or
weeding
fighting.
Out your smiths, they seem like they've already won.
it does seem like that is.
It seems like what you would do after you capture them completely, and you're like, now let's just kill some of the people that could be a problem.
Yeah, it seems odd to me that their strategy in war was like, don't worry about everyone. Just get the guys you think might be a blacksmith.
Like, if that's a move that you can do in war, people should do that all the time. Like, you kill everyone who creates a weapon for the bad guys. That'll help us win. You're like, sure. If you can
I'm going to try, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, but yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, I hear what you're saying. I want to. I want to be helpful.
Sure. It would be great. If they had no blacks, if we killed all their blacksmiths, of course that would help.
Yeah. And if their god is there too, kill him. Like, that'd be great too. Yeah, that would really help
us. Steal his little command center.
Yes. Yeah.
We've done it before.
We've done it before and it did help, right?
They like all died or something.
Right.
It got and then real he like spooky. Flew back or something.
Like a ghost.
Yeah.
He went back. And then is that what led to the king stuff?
Maybe.
They were like, your like little chamber wouldn't have gotten stolen.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Your chest of drawers.
Yeah, it's like if we had better belief, this wouldn't have happened. So crazy. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock.
So I guess they're weapons. They're like, I'm not a blacksmith, but I kind of know how to do it.
What
no offense
heck?
To blacksmiths.
They all went down to the Philistines and they did it. They sharpened. What's a mattock? Verse 20.
Honestly, mine says mattock as well. Plow points.
What's a coulter?
I wonder if mattock is in the Bible dictionary.
Yeah.
I bet I could look it up in a regular dictionary, but I think it'll be interesting. Come on. So many L words. Cooper, don't skip this.
Don't skip this. Whatever you do, don't skip this.
Don't skip this riveting silence. How do you spell?
M-A-T-T-O-C-K.
R, there's so many R's. M-A-R's. Marriage.
Wait,
oh,
are you
no.
going past R? It's before R.
No, Matt. M-A-T.
Oh, I see.
Cooper.
If you...
Mattock. See, tools of the Bible. Ah. Damn it. Cooper.
I know you feel like you're worried, you're listening, you're like, I don't think the audience is going to like this. Trust us.
This is tools of the Bible. Mortar and pestle. Mirror. That's interesting. I'm so close. Mallet. Mattock. A mattock was similar to a hoe. It was a flat iron head fastened to a wooden handle, used to weed the terraced gardens and fields. Mattock appears in only one passage.
And we found it.
Ding, ding, ding. And in this, they call it Sam. One
what?
Sam, period. They like abbreviate Samuel, I guess.
Oh, and one Sam.
One Sam.
One Sam. Okay, so maybe they just like they're saying that they didn't
tools.
Really have like good weapons.
Yes,
and
I think
so. They're just like sharpening whatever
like,
they
this
got.
This could be a weapon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's like Kung Fu Hustle. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
And
with
like,
soccer?
That's the same director.
Oh.
And he did Shaolin Soccer, but then he did Kung Fu Hustle.
That's different, right?
And it's like this town gets attacked, and you're like, the townspeople, they're just regular townspeople. But then you find out that these guys really know how to fight, and they use, like, their weapons were sort of hidden in, like, everyday objects.
Or like Ninja Turtles 2.
Same.
They, like, use yo-yos. They'll use anything.
Talk about movies that don't hold up. Ninja Turtles 2.
Well, they weren't allowed to use their weapons in the movie was one of the...
What, stipulations?
Stipulations by the studio or whatever.
Oh, really?
Like their classic weapons. Like they couldn't whip out a sword.
But in the first one they did.
Yeah.
First one was like dark.
Dark and gritty.
Why?
I
mean, I like that they did that, but why?
Well, I think the source material is grittier.
Okay.
I think it has become more and more childish.
Childish, yeah. Right, over time.
In fairness to them, like that's at least where they started.
Mm-hmm. No, that all makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So they took their bad weapons to be sharp and they were going to sharpen them.
Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son was there found. What? Anyway.
Wait, so no one went with them? No. It's a really crappy way of saying they didn't have actually weapons.
Okay.
They just had that stuff.
And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Mishmash. The end.
Whoa, that's... as if we're supposed to be like, what?
What does that mean?
I think they're just maybe getting ready to fight.
Okay.
I think we'll see what happens.
Dang. Tough chapter.
Tough.
What can you do? Whatever. Okay. So they're getting ready to fight. That's fun.
Maybe. Oh, well, but maybe. We don't know that's in Dan's head, but we also heard me think that confused Saul and Samuel multiple times.
Okay. The next one, I'm not going to lie, is a doozy of a chapter.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay. Big fat fatty.
That's a big fatty. No offense to fatties.
Fatties. That's true. It's not. Yeah. I won't call it that next time, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, can't you still say the word? It's like one thing to be like pejoratively, like, you're fat. You like, that stinks. I mean, I know that's not how you say it, but
right.
But can you describe something as like, oh, that's pretty fat? Because that's, or is that like, hey, that's not a kind word to use?
I don't know.
It's a question for the God Squad.
God Squad. I would guess I'm guessing like it's too soon
to determine.
To do it. No, that it's like,
oh, to use
perhaps
it.
In a different world. We could use it.
But right now, it's just
but
not
it's
the
like
time.
It's still a pejorative time.
Find a different word.
Find a different word. Don't, yes, find a different way to
describe.
Think that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to think. It's hard for me to come up with a good situation.
Or a different word?
You could call people muscly.
And who are those people?
People with lots of big muscles.
Big muscles. But like a big chapter.
Yeah.
You'd be like, it's like a muscle fest in here.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's,
nice. It's something to think about.
So yeah.
We're all changing. We're evolving.
Yeah, we're all learning.
And we're learning. It's a time for learning.
I've lost the plot. Here we go. Okay, so chapter 14. This first section, and quite a long one, is called Unknown to Saul, Jonathan Defeats the Philistines.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. The chapter title, the subheadings have gotten a little like more intricate.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes, yeah. It's like the
independent or like dependent clauses.
Yeah, there's a few things going on.
Yeah,
there.
It's like,
they're getting long.
Okay. Yep. Okay, got it. Just long. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was God.
He's got he's going to go talk to God or something.
Who's? It just is like saying this guy Ahiah what?
Has an ephod.
Has an ephod. Okay.
It's like it could be. Like, yes, it's a special one, or it's also like he's just like a big fan.
Yeah, like
he's wearing like a jersey with his favorite player.
He's not a part of his story. It's like
no,
just,
but or someone noticed him. Is that guy wearing an ephod?
Anyway,
it's so like, yeah, on there's his 600 way. Guys under a pomegranate tree.
I'm like sneaking into a war, and it's like, what? Who's this guy? Anyway,
does anyone know who the guy is with the ephod?
Should
on?
He be wearing that? I don't know. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sene.
Two rocks?
Two rocks had names.
That would have been a great title for this
this section. I would be much more curious.
Two rocks have names. What? How?
Is it going to matter that they have names? I feel like this chapter's gone insane. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised.
Hey, it's been a while.
It's been talk about these stupid uncircumcised.
Disgusting.
So gross. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Don't know.
That's funny. He's like, you know, God might do this for us. Could happen.
What's his logic for there's no restraint?
Like it's not going to matter. Like God doesn't say like, I'm going to help you. With a lot of people or with like one person,
oh, I
it's
see.
Like he's just might just be, you know, in a good mood. He'll take down our enemies. Let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice.
It's just such a bad way of thinking. You know, it's like, I guess you're right. Like if God was such a roulette wheel, you would live in a world where you're like, let's just whatever. Like,
yeah,
this will work.
I kind of appreciate that. That's like, it almost feels like the religion has devolved into point. Yeah.
Like, it's gotten so extreme. Nothing matters. Like, nothing obeys the rules.
Like, if he's here, this would work.
It's so, like, we've got a few guys with some, like, gardening tools, and they've got, like, tens of thousands of men.
He's almost doing, like, an experiment. He's basically saying, if all the stuff we heard about God is true, my hypothesis is that we can win this with garden tools.
Yeah, and the way this should end is like a kind of a less... I think it's like they should get ripped up, and it's believe in God and not do stuff like this. There's a line.
Right, it's not like...
It's not just like magic sauce.
Right, but that seems to be the theory.
That it is.
And it might prove true.
Yeah. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart.
They believed in him.
Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us.
I don't really understand the logic. I was having trouble following, but okay.
Yeah.
He seems to have a plan.
Yeah. I think he's just saying, do whatever they say.
Got it.
And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves.
Oh. Remember?
Yeah.
Wait. So they thought they were hiding this whole time?
Yeah, they knew what holes they were in.
So lazy. They could have gotten them all.
Maybe there were tons of holes.
And maybe they're like, who cares if they're in the holes? We already killed the blacksmiths. What are they going to do?
Right. Just leave them in the holes. Yeah, have I think that is right. I think they're just like, hey, they came out of their little holes.
Losers.
Not a problem.
Right. They don't have any swords.
And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will shew you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel.
We're going to win this thing.
Cool.
This is crazy.
So he strides up to them.
Do-do-do.
Yeah, they've lost the element of surprise. Let's see what happens.
They know exactly, who's there, where they're coming from.
They're looking at them.
They have no, advantage going downhill or anything. They're literally climbing out of holes.
Get out of these holes.
Wow.
Excuse me while I get out of my hole. And Jonathan climbed up, upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him.
So they're killing him. Jonathan and his the armor bearer, this like unnamed guy.
Oh,
Pog, is that who it was in Game of Thrones?
I don't remember.
The like little guy that just like hung out with one of the knights early on. It was like early seasons.
I wouldn't know. I don't remember the small things.
Yeah, there was that other guy, but yeah, he's like an assistant, a squire.
How are they not explaining how they're doing it? But okay.
Yeah, they just freaking killed 20 guys.
And that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow.
Getting back to land rights.
I mean, if he only killed 20, it seems like he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, I think so.
To even, anyway. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. That's funny. They were trembling as the earth was
so
trembling.
Scared. They're causing an earthquake with their fear.
And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Right. Oh, it's just the two of them?
That's crazy. I also like
I thought it was like the two of them and a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I thought they were all coming out of their holes, but I guess just two guys came out of their holes. I like that we're actually getting kind of a battle.
I guess.
I mean,
not described to us, just, and they're like saying a battle
is happening. Yeah. And these guys, this many people died. It is like the worst way to do it, but it's not just like fully skipped over.
No, it's like we're watching back at like HQ and just like battle has commenced. You're just waiting for news. Like,
yeah. They're going for it. They're winning.
Good.
Now what? The other guys are scared.
And Saul said unto Ahia, there we go, bring hither the Ark of God, for the Ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel.
This is crazy. Imagine seeing this, like two madmen fighting an army and then being like, we need that box. Like, that's the one thing we need right now.
No.
Yeah, bring the Ark.
No, he's not fighting. His son is out with his one guy.
The son is out with his buddy who doesn't
Saul's
have a name.
Saul's like upset. He's like, I got into trouble. Bring out the Ark.
Gotcha. I thought it was like, I was misreading it and thinking like these two guys are going nuts. And it's like, it's almost like they're doing coke. And it's like, get God in here.
Like, right. Like, just this is freaky or
he's
something.
Like, geez, man. Like, I can't believe this is working. Yeah. This is such a bad idea that this guy would have influence. And people would see him and be inspired, be like, that's what I should do.
Totally. It's crazy.
And they're saying, no, this is good.
Yeah.
This is what you want.
This story is wacky.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture.
They were the Philistines were confused. It seems like they're fighting each other now.
Why?
I don't know. It seems like there's like some kind of magic potion that got the guys to be confused.
Like Final Fantasy.
Yeah. They have that in, spoiler, Tears of the Kingdom this time.
You can get a confusion potion.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was a nice little addition.
Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So
the hiding worked. They were hiding.
And then they came out roaring.
Because they're like, oh, it looks like the tides have turned.
Yeah. I don't know about this whole section. I'm finding it very uninteresting.
I mean, look, it's not great.
I mean, you're doing God's work by like trying to milk, you know.
Yes.
Whatever's there, but there's not a lot there to really hang your hat on.
No, I think I do like the ideas of like under, you know, the not necessarily the subtext, but just like imagining guys that were hiding that are now like, I think, like, let's go back out there.
I mean, I basically get what they're saying. Yeah. It's pretty conventional. Just like the numbers are pretty crazy and it's a little, but yes, it's like we've seen this before.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, they really believe.
Yes, that's all this one seems to be.
Yeah. So the Lord saved Israel that day and the battle passed over unto Beth Haven. Okay.
It's that hot afternoon sun in this train station.
Yeah. It's like, what's the hurry?
What was in that drink?
Strong drink. Snooze it off.
Everyone else at the station snoozing. I guess I should too.
That's why they siesta. It's a totally different culture. It's good to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come out in the evening when it's cooler.
They party all night.
It's often they go straight to work the next day.
What a culture.
All right. That was nice little reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
This next section is called Saul's Unadvised Command Hinders the Victory.
Ooh.
It seems like he's already been taken to task by, Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And said, like, you're off. But yeah, I guess
that's true. I thought he said there's a new guy coming in.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a weird way of introducing himself as like philosopher king.
Yeah. So it's like he's allowing him to hang himself. He continues to let him make mistakes.
But he's not.
Yeah.
The king is winning.
Well, so far.
Oh, yes, but he might hinder.
Yeah, I think he's about to hinder. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food.
Weird request.
I think it's because he wasn't a part of the battle. His son was. I think he's like mad that they disobeyed.
No food. No eating.
Yeah. This wasn't a win because he did it wrong.
Right. That's not how it was supposed to go. Put that little roll down. No hot rolls with butter.
Oh, yeah.
Put them down.
No,
but they're going to get cold.
Should have included me. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground.
On the ground?
The land of milk and honey. Finally, there's appearance of this might be the first time they've mentioned honey.
Yeah, totally. I'm
think actually I'm a bit gratified.
I'm kind of annoyed that it's like it's so long ago.
Yeah, that it's like now.
Really?
You're saying
now?
Like this is a land where like honey is on the ground and the rivers are flowing with milk.
Yeah.
Like, So it is Willy Wonkaville. Because you made it sound like it wasn't.
Right, for a really long time.
You made it sound like it was a desert again.
But they're in the woods and there's
sticky
honey on the ground.
And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath.
Oh, they can't eat the honey.
No.
That stinks.
In the land of milk and honey, you can't eat the honey.
There's honey on the ground. It says, and mine says the honey is oozing out of the woods. Like people are like, I see it like coming
so
towards
drippy,
me.
Drippy.
I smell the honey.
But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb.
This is crazy.
Me want honeycomb. And put his, he was the original me
and
want
he
honeycomb.
He said to himself, me honeycomb.
And he turned into a sort of spasmataz-like creature.
Right, right. A creature that you've seen before, but changed a little bit for legal reasons.
A sort of wide-eyed, manic
Tasmanian
little
devil.
Rodent that says, me want honeycomb.
And he got his honeycomb. And God did not like that.
And put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened.
I think honeycomb, honeycomb.
I think he turned into the little honeycomb, honeycomb guy.
All right, I really like this chapter now.
I mean, eyes enlightened, that makes me feel like there's a close push on his eyes and they like,
yes, yeah,
like
get
you
huge.
Know, they get huge, like the irises or, you know, the black part.
It's so crazy that like this whole thing started with a battle and that he's doing it wrong. And it's gotten to a point where he's dipping his like spear into honey and other people are watching like, dude, don't
like,
eat the honey. There's the
get?
Rule that we're not supposed to eat.
You're like, is that the plot right now? Like, are we worried about this honey situation?
Yes. Uh-oh. Like, he doesn't know the rule.
It's like the two people that broke the rule, Jonathan just didn't hear his dad say,
right.
Don't. It's like.
They don't care about that at all in the Bible, though. About like,
well,
come on.
Things.
Yeah. They're like, should have known.
I didn't hear you.
Nope. That's not an excuse.
Gonna eat
like
them.
I was fighting the thing. There was a rule. I can't eat this. And that's that makes you mad.
No, it feels like they could have set up this honey long ago. It's like
that's true too.
It's crazy.
New honey. And in the middle of the fight, he's a little hungry.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't what it's about.
He felt the need to snack on something sweet after fighting.
Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey.
Honeycomb, honeycomb.
He's enlightened because he tasted the honey.
Wow, is this like this,
is this magic honey?
Yeah, let's just say this is starting to feel more like a myth, like
or
Greek
like a,
mythology,
like our tree, the apple from Genesis.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like magic
it's been a
food.
While.
It's what the heck is going on with this honey?
I don't know. And who is the guy that told him that?
What?
Oh, hey, so it's like a soldier is like, hey,
your dad said don't do that.
He just like walked up to him
but
in
you,
the honey puddle.
He's like, you don't know what it's like to eat this honey.
It's so sweet.
What the heck is happening? I gotta say, I'm back in the Bible. At
right.
least it like...
Yeah, this is maybe the best thing we've ever read.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
I appreciate how... I kind of wish more of it was this insane.
Totally.
If you're gonna...
Make a crazy book.
Make it really crazy.
Totally.
That's kind of the worst part, I guess, right? Overall.
It's like not crazy enough.
Right. It's like, this is all crazy, but it's, if anything, it's just like bland.
Yeah, you're like pulling your punches. It's already nuts. Just go for it.
Right. Let's get some honey oozing
like,
out of the woods.
Yeah, this guy starts being like, I mean, imagine a war movie like where like,
I love this.
Who's a person like Chris Evans, you know, whatever. They're like in the, they're going through and then it just like takes this turn where he's like, you got to try this honey, guys. And they're like, dude, you're not, don't eat the honey. He's like, you don't know what it's like to eat this honey. Like,
it's many steps removed.
I would be like, this is a crazy movie.
Yes,
like,
this is, who is this about?
Why are they doing this? Is this what the movie is?
What happened to the people he was fighting?
What happened to the whole situation? He continues, how much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found, for had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?
Oh, so he's like, if we weren't so hungry, we would have killed these guys even more.
Maybe. Yeah.
Eat the honey.
Eat this good honey. And they smote the Philistines that day from Mishmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord in that they eat with the blood."
Oh, boy, that's been a while.
Yeah, they did. That was, they weren't supposed to do that. And he said, "Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day."
Okay, that's...
Okay, now roll a stone. Get roll the biggest stone.
That's, yeah, I'm like, is this a like a big boulder? Maybe one of the two named stones.
Oh, they're like, where are we going to find a stone here? Oh, Bish Bash. I forgot about you, the named stone. And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people and say unto them, bring me hither every man his ox and every man his sheep and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord." I don't know, man. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's really hard to follow.
I don't know point is. Are we supposed to like Saul? He seems to be the correct in this situation.
That's true. That is interesting. Who are... But maybe, yes, I don't know. I could
but
see...
But the other
like
guys are winning. They are winning. It feels like people usually, I feel like it's complicated because usually there's one person who's like clearly the you know, brown noser who's on God's side.
Right.
And usually the other people don't do it and are punished for it.
Right.
Here we're in a situation where a guy who wasn't supposed to be king, I think, and Samuel's the one who were supposed to be on his side. And it's like, you shouldn't have a king.
Right.
He's getting mad because these people are not obeying God or
whatever.
Hungry.
I mean, they're too hungry to be fighting good.
But they are winning.
They did win, but they could have won better.
Better? You could have won better.
He's just like a tough coach. You know, he's like, sure, we won, but we really, that game was too close.
Yeah, and you didn't do the fundamentals. It's not a, right. Like, you just like...
That game should never been that close.
A bad
you
loss. Kind,
yeah. You got too lazy
win,
on
bad
defense.
Win. Yeah.
Now eat this honey.
I don't know, man. I hope they keep talking about the honey.
I know. Please, please get back to the honey. You know they're not gonna.
No, that was it for sure. This next section is called Jonathan, taken by Lot, is saved by the people.
Man, I was dying for the word honey to be in there.
But he's still high on this honey. Right. So I don't know. Maybe it'll play something. And Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light. And let us not leave a man on them, of them." And they said, "Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Then said the priest, "Let us draw near hither unto God."
Wait, they said, it was like, do whatever you want?
Yeah.
Do whatever seems good.
If it seems good to you.
That's nice. Sure. Yeah.
Do such whatever a funny seems thing good. For an army to say.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're okay with that. Do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you want.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, it's my job.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good
to you.
I don't care. So confusing if the mass... Hey, whatever. I don't need to get into it. And Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, "Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein the sin hath been this day."
Okay, so it's one of those, like, let's sniff out the sinners.
It seems like God's not talking to me. There must be a sinner.
Right.
"For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die."
If Jonathan sinned.
Okay.
I'm going to kill him.
"But there was not a man among all the people that answered him." And so I imagine Jonathan has sticky lips at this point and is like,
wasn't me? Yeah.
No.
Let me see. Yeah,
Your hands are sticky.
Oh, that was from fighting and stuff.
It was blood.
That's fine. It's from murdering guys and doing that all day.
What's that? Dripping down your chinny chin chin.
You don't seem hungry.
Yeah, you're patting your little belly.
You're rolling around like a little Winnie the Pooh.
Then said he unto all Israel, Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, Do what seemeth good unto thee.
It's okay, man.
Yeah, sounds good. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, Give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped.
What verse was that?
41.
And then Saul prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel, Why have you not answered your servant today? If the fault is in me or my son Jonathan, respond with Urim. But if the men of Israel are at fault, no. respond with Thummim.
No, so you're sorry, 41.
That was 41.
And Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken.
That's 42 on mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing but, about Urim and Thummim.
Yeah. Urim and Thummim.
What the heck? Thummim.
Jonathan and Saul were taken by lot and the men were cleared. So it was them, Jonathan and Saul were in trouble?
It feels like they were working out a little. It feels like it's the night before the army comes and they said, everyone make, let, just let me, I'm with my son.
Okay.
But then.
Let's see. Look, let's go to, I think there's something in 43. Look. Okay.
Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die.
But wasn't the honey rule from the honey rule came from Saul?
Yes.
So why should he die? It's not a God's rule.
Maybe it was a God rule told by Saul?
I guess so. But it's like the blood thing seemed a lot worse.
Right.
There was never a rule other than like, I thought Saul was like, I'm mad. So you guys shouldn't eat. And then he ate. And now they're acting like, well, that's a sin against God. Which I guess it's like, well, by proxy, it's a sin against God because you didn't listen to the king.
Yeah, but I thought we're like anti-king. I just can't tell if we're pro or anti-king. But I guess now I'm feeling like maybe Saul, we're supposed to be like, is good.
Okay, let's try that.
Let's see how that feels.
See how it feels? Take it for a ride?
Okay, so he kind of came clean. He was... At one point, he was eating the honey and he's like, I disagree with you guys who are saying I shouldn't. This is, you just haven't tried the honey. And now he's saying, nah, okay, it's not
good. You got me.
You got me. I ate it. It's bad. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die who has wrought this great salvation in Israel?
Oh, okay, so they're confused too.
Yeah.
Nice.
God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not.
Interesting, they kind of decided all that without God.
Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place.
So they're quitting. They're heading back. And this is not their land?
What are we to make of all this?
But I like that everyone's a little bit confused.
Totally. It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's like, whose side are we on? That's pretty good. That's a great religious thing.
You know what'd be great in more stories? People being like, I'm just confused. Like, you know, like characters, I feel like characters and things are not confused.
It would have made a lot of the stories in this book, the Bible, more agreeable.
Yeah.
Had if we known.
There's just a general consensus. Like,
hey, I'm also at a loss as to what's happening here.
You know, like a James Bond or anything tense, like it was people, like they're not like ever like, wait, like just
what is going on?
It's like, I'm just confused. Like, not like what is going on? Like there's mysteries to be solved. It's like, I'm actually confused about what we've learned so far.
Yeah.
Like, can we just take a break?
I'm trying to figure this out.
I'm like, I just am confused.
I need to like process some of this, like a night to just like, sleep on it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get what's happening.
I think that's such a hard thing to dramatize. Because, right, it's like, you like, I think audiences probably want to see people who are on a path.
I could dramatize it. Hey, can we stop? I'm really confused. About which part?
I'm saying, not that you can't dramatize it, but the excitement of it is not as potent as like guy going for a thing that he wants.
It's a stall for sure, but yeah, I think it's a realistic stall.
Yeah.
I think it'd be like, you still want what you want, but you're like, I just don't get like
what my role is in this whole thing.
What is this? What should we be doing? And why again?
I like that in this case, like I thought I was the good guy sort of, and I'm not sure.
Who?
Anyone could kind of say that in this one.
Totally.
It's like, I thought I was doing the right thing, but maybe I wasn't.
But yeah, that's nice. But you know, I guess what irks me is like, you know, the Bible is not thinking that. They're like, no, one person's good answer. And one person's bad.
Well,
and I just don't get it.
It seems like they're not totally sure. Well, I guess they're saying, no, in the end, sure, he did the wrong thing there, but he killed a bunch of bad guys, so he's good.
Right.
Which kind of stinks as an answer, but.
But that seems to be what they're saying. Yeah. Going with.
That's their stance.
All right, whatever. And then this last section is called Saul's strength, and family. So, Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines. And whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered a host and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishui and Melchishua. It's funny, Jonathan.
Regular name.
Ishui and Melchishua.
Mine says Ishvi.
Why?
And also Melchishua.
So weird. Melchishua. And the names of his two daughters were these. The name of the firstborn, Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal.
Michelle, almost.
Almost Michelle. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz.
This is so funny that they're just like, it just doing seems this. Like a child telling a story.
Totally. You just lost the plot.
It's like, yeah. And his brother's this, and he's had daughters?
Yeah. You're
like, what?
Just imagine
that honey thing and how crazy of a fighter he is.
And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner.
Abner? Have we had an Abner before?
Abner, the son of Ner.
That's crazy. I can't believe
Did
Abner
you know that
is
Abner means
son of Ner?
Son of Ner.
Yeah, it's almost like of Ner.
Of Ner.
Ner. That is so crazy. Abner does not, I mean, it does seem kind of Old Testament-y, but I guess I always think of Abner Doubleday, the inventor of baseball.
Yeah, or Lil Abner. It's
Lil Abner, so I think like old-timey.
Right, but not that old.
Yes, no, I think like industrial, well, after the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, I don't know, somewhere around then.
Early 1900s.
Sure.
Late 1800s.
Anyway, Abner is Saul's uncle.
Great.
And Kish was the father of Saul. And Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him.
That is way out of order.
Yeah.
That seems like that's like the first part.
Right, because they already told us he whomped him.
Yeah, and it's like, and every time he saw, it's like a weird conclusion.
But then every time he saw a strong man, he'd be like, you join my army.
And to wrap it up, what else is there to say about
just some family
Saul?
History and...
You know what I always liked about him? Anytime he saw someone strong, he said, hey, come fight with me.
It's really weird.
Very weird. But I love the honey stuff.
Yeah, the honey was good, but...
Not good enough?
Not good enough.
Dang.
I mean, it was good. It was interesting. I like that. Yes, I like that. But it doesn't... There was too much bad stuff for me.
Long
bad
it was
stuff.
It was just the honey story?
Perfect.
Mwah.
Mwah.
5 stars.
Yeah. So think about the honey story when you rate this episode.
That's right.
You wouldn't have heard the honey if we didn't go through the other parts.
So that's maybe the true lesson of the Bible.
Yes.
5 stars for honey. Mm-hmm. Maybe put that in the comments.
What a weird episode.
Truly. Even from the beginning, from our, like what we talked about.
I think we knew. I think I felt like
weird
a little
energy
like,
the whole time.
Yeah, there was a weird energy.
It is a weird, I think everything's weird right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot. It's summer.
Yeah.
I find doing anything in the summer weird because I feel like your whole life, you're just on summer break.
Right. And you're like,
nothing gets
but
done.
Summer break.
Yeah. And then when you're like working a real job, you're like, what happened to summer break?
Yeah. Right. It's like,
you
I've just,
told
I'm
me
so
you're the
used
ones
to
that
it.
Set this up for me.
Just one of the many things where I'm like, school really did a number on all of us.
Yeah. What the hell?
Totally. Like, we should be like, having fun with our friends.
Yeah, that was like most of school. You at least got to do that.
Or on a family trip.
Yes. But now I have to be the one to plan the family trip.
Right.
And that's hard.
It's hard.
Because if you could hire someone to do that, but that's so expensive.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, what am I going to do? But I do feel a pull to go away somewhere. But I'm like, well, why? I'm on strike and I don't know where to go.
Yeah, just
float.
Float, man. No, I know. It's with you, man. It's I think you should go somewhere, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. We will. We will. Jonah has
I think Jonah's
off.
Ready.
He's ready. He has off for a week before he goes to his new school, guys.
Mm.
That's exciting. 5 stars.
5 stars.
For Jonah's new school.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see you here next time.
Hell yeah.
And you, listener, same thing.
To you. You want honeycomb? We want honeycomb?
We all love honeycomb.
Goodbye. Bye.